So Father, can I give you the work of my hands and my mind and ask you to knock it into shape, Lord, remould it, just like the potter that you are with the clay, so that it is more useful for bringing about your kingdom on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today's message is entitled, Are You Listening? Are You Listening? On the 20th of August 2023. And I'd just like to start by saying that in the shower this morning, I was in the shower, as I often am, and the shower in our house is one of the places where I can expect the Lord to speak to me. It's, you know, there are areas in the house and there's areas outside where you kind of stop and wonder if the Lord is trying to say something to you. But this morning, I decided to put my phone on Premier Praise and stick it in the bidet because it acts as like a trumpet. And if you happen to have a bidet and you get your phone with a speaker, put it in the bottom of the bidet acts like a gramophone, right? So you can hear it all through the bathroom. Just free information. Okay, just don't turn the bidet on if you've got one. And I put that on and I got into the shower and I thought, no, I'm now defeating an option to hear from the Lord because I'm listening to Premier Praise. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't speak through Premier Praise and doesn't speak through Christian radio. He can speak through anything he wants. You know, you could be listening to the news at 10 or whatever and you'll hear the Lord speak to you through the news, a reminder of where we are in society and where we are in history and things like that. But I was in the shower and I was got wet and I thought, shall I get out and turn it off or shall I just carry on? I thought, oh, just carry on. Anyway, that's like a sample of what this sermon is about. I'm going to start now with a bit of scripture from John 18:36. And this is Jesus speaking, as he does. And Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place. Ah, you are a king then, said Pilate. Jesus answered, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me. So I ask you this morning, those who are listening, are you listening? Are you on the side of truth? If so, do you listen to Jesus? And how? How do you listen to Jesus? I told you a little funny skit this morning about being in the shower, where often, especially on a Sunday morning, when I've got this ahead of me, I stand there in quietness, asking for help, basically, and listening for answers. But on this morning, I switched on the radio, in effect, and thought, have I just blanked out an opportunity for him to speak to me? Now, another story, if you just put that in the back of your mind, we recently set off in the car to London to visit our second son who lives in Barking. And as is the modern way of doing things, we looked at the various routes we could take by asking the car sat nav and then cross-checking with Google Maps, as we've come to understand, whether it's true or not, that Google Maps takes real-time traffic works and congestion into account when calculating your route. So it depends on what day it is, what time it is, what the traffic's doing, whether there's any road works, etc., etc. So that hopefully you can avoid any major hold-ups. Well, that's not what we did when I first learnt to drive. We used to get the map out. And in those days, we would study the map and work out the shortest route and write down the road numbers and the towns and follow a handmade list of how to get somewhere that was not somewhere that you knew very well. Of course, that was a long time ago, wasn't it? And nowadays, paper maps can't keep up with the ever-changing road networks. Even the sat-nav in our once new car, which is 10 years old now, is woefully out of date, such that you're going down to Stansted and it says, you're lost, basically. You know, out of range. There is no road here where you are. So on our way then, we decided that we'd go where it said to go and not where we usually go. And so when my wife said to turn right out of our drive, I knew that couldn't possibly be right, because we never turn right out of our drive to go south. Couldn't possibly be correct. I mean, you never head towards Boston to get to London. Well, I don't anyway, never did. Well, we decided that we would take advice from Google Maps anyway, but I was heading towards Sleaford first, because that's where the A17 is, because I knew that road made more sense. Anyway, I'd gotten into the habit of turning off the sat-nav sound, because I'm fed up with a woman's voice telling me what to do all the time. Right, it's just constant, isn't it? constant correction. So I just follow the little car on the map, and it's got a little head up on the Passat outside. It's got a little head up that goes straight for 1.5 miles, and then you'd be turning left, straight for another 7 miles, and be turning right, that kind of thing. So there we were, on the A153, heading towards Sleaford and the A17 at Kirk's Vets in my head. That's what I was doing. And then all of a sudden, Nola shouts out, "You need to turn left here." I thought, what? Yeah. So look in the mirror quick, and they yanked it over to the left, because the sat-nav wanted to take us on the B1394 to Heckington, to join the A17 further down the road towards Boston. Shortcut, right? But I didn't hear anything, did I? Because I turned the voice off. So I got onto this road, which I've been on before, but I'm totally unfamiliar with it, really. And I don't really think there's a need to go that way, because I like to go down the A1, because once you're on the A1, you know where you're going. You're heading south or north. So how do I turn this into a sermon? Well, when we returned from a very enjoyable long weekend with our son, there was a letter waiting for me on the mat, and it was from the police. I opened it up wondering what it could be, because I was completely oblivious at this point, only to see the words, "Intention to prosecute." You've seen those, haven't you? Do they come to your door as well?
No,
we don't want to hear it. Tell us later in the tea bar. "Intention to prosecute" in large print at the top of the letter. I was bewildered. Yes, I was. I was bewildered. And I couldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe it. Our car had been spotted and recorded in a place that I couldn't even remember. All the date wasn't immediately significant to me, because I'm not as quick as some people are. So straight away, my mind raced to the fact that my wife has been borrowing the car during the week to go to work. It must have been Nola. And she must have got caught on the road to and from Lincoln, because I didn't work it out, you know, where it was. What's this about? Oh, how the brain works when it is shocked like that. I was in denial and wanted to quickly find an escape or an excuse fast. And that's what we do. We all do it. It slowly dawned on me what had happened. I later worked out that it happened on the B1394 to Heckington on the way to the A17 to get to London, the other way that I never go. And the speed trap that I thought I had seen ahead of time and braked down to 29 miles an hour, I clearly hadn't done it quick enough. They recorded me, and I've seen the pictures on the website, doing 42 miles an hour in a 30 mile an hour zone. Now this 30 mile an hour zone, right, is in the middle of the countryside. It just doesn't make sense for it to be 30, but it is 30. Just so you know, don't go that way. I know most of the speed traps around here, but I didn't know that one. So the last time anything like that happened to me was more than 40 years ago. Got one other speeding eviction when I was probably 19 years old, for obvious reasons. And that was in a 30 zone as well. So for 40 years, I've escaped being nailed by the police. But on this occasion, and they can obviously get you a long way out, because on the third photograph, it showed the dash cam saying 29 miles an hour. And there was a car behind me as well on the photograph. You see the car. I thought, I must have been overtaking that car. That's what happened. Inadmissible evidence. So, what's this about? Maybe my reactions are not quite as fast as they used to be? Or maybe I just need to reassess mine and everyone else's vulnerability to making wrong turnings, wrong decisions, being overconfident, exceeding the speed limit? But most of all, is it because I'm not listening? The sat-nav is not the word of God, but it would have been very wise to listen to it on this occasion. And what's more, it would have told me there was a 30 mile an hour speed limit coming up, because I didn't see it on the screen, because I was looking at the head up in front of me, which doesn't tell you that. But it would have told me, boop, 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 30 mile an hour. But I switched it off because I was fed up with it. Are you learning from this? Proverbs 9:9-10. Put yourself in this, if you can. Instruct a wise man and he will be wiser still. I dare say it's the same for ladies. Teach a righteous man and he will add to his learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. I confidently say that everyone breaks the speed limits at some point. And in the UK alone, there are around 6,000 people caught every day. Do you know what that adds up to? Around 2.4 million people in the UK caught every year. Think of the income. It's just as well that our righteousness doesn't depend on how much we break the law of the land, isn't it? Paul makes it clear in Romans 3:21-24, but now a righteousness from God apart from law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. I am so glad that Jesus isn't likely to ask me how many speeding tickets I gathered whilst on earth. St. Peter is not at the door saying, right, how many speeding tickets did you get? So far, this will be my second. But how many other sins have I committed in 65 years? Does that matter? Although our natural tendency is to deny wrongdoing or excuse ourselves or blame someone else, We have to turn back to the truth of the matter, don't we, eventually? And we have to fess up. Because this is where it all started. It all started in Genesis 3, 12 to 13. And the man said, "It was the woman that you put here with me. She gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." And the Lord said to the woman, "What's this that you've done?" And the woman said, "It was the serpent. He deceived me and I ate." Let's start the blame game right at the beginning. Makes you wonder how things would have turned out, doesn't it? If they had just confessed their sins to God and said, "Well, I'm sorry, we're guilty." It would have been completely different from that point onwards, wouldn't it? "We're guilty. Forgive us, please." He wouldn't have said, "No, I'm not forgiving you. You'll take a fine." Corinthians 13:6-7. "Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres." You know, I desperately wanted to get away with being caught speeding. You would, wouldn't you? You would want to get out of it, wouldn't you? But you know what? Facing up to the truth is just as important, as painful as it is. I could blame the sat-nav. I could blame, well, if the voice was better, I'd listen to it. Maybe if it was a man's voice, I'd listen to it. You could blame Google Maps. Or you could blame the police for making a business out of speeding fines. Or I could just own up to the fact and say, "It's a fair cop, officer." Let's face it, if we listen to God, if we listen to the Holy Spirit more, switch the radio off, switch the telly off, spend some time alone listening to the Holy Spirit rather than rushing around trying to get things done because we think we haven't got enough time to do it. If we set off early, if we got to bed early, if we got up earlier, if we've got things in the right order like Jesus did, while it was still dark, he got up and he went and prayed up the mountain, didn't he? There's your example. Rather than turning off the voices, how many things would go better for us? God is not a policeman. He's not sat there with a radar gun. He's not out to trap you or fine you. Doesn't want to put you in prison. But there is that option, if you want it. He promises to do everything to give us hope and a future and wants to forgive us all our sins. That's what he wants. But he can't make you accept that. 2 Peter 3:9-13. "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with this promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness." When you look at the news, it's very concerning when you see fires burning up parts of the world. It's alarming. And in other countries, at the same time as the fires, there are houses and towns being destroyed by flash floods. your car floating down a river along with your house and maybe your children, your school. Kind of puts things in perspective, doesn't it? And if we didn't really know what was going on in the world from a biblical perspective, it would be very, very worrying, don't you think? It's bad enough as it is. But if we had no hope, if this was all there is, then what? And remember, the news is often edited and manipulated so that the truth is sometimes held back or even distorted. And for that reason, we need to stay wide awake and to listen to the voice of God. Matthew 24, 4 to 14. This is what Jesus said about it. Jesus answered, "Watch out that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, claiming I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. And then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. And because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come." Now, you can't understand the gospel unless it is presented in your own language, can you? And unless someone explains it to you. Or better still, if the Holy Spirit reveals the truth to you supernaturally, that's when it really hits you. When what you've been reading for years, all of a sudden it hits you between the eyes as being, that is really the truth. Either way, not everyone who hears scripture, is actually listening. They hear it, but they're not listening. Sometimes they are spiritually asleep, switched off, thinking about something else. And no matter how loud you shout, they can't receive something that which they've switched off. Perhaps they're fed up with listening to it. "I've heard it all before. I've read the Bible." That's the biggest lie you ever hear anybody say. "Oh, I've read the Bible." No, you haven't. You have not read the Bible. So no matter how you shout at them, if they're switched off, they're not really listening. 1 Timothy 4, 1-2. "The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, clearly says that in latter times some will abandon the faith, abandon it altogether, and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons." That must be true, otherwise it wouldn't be in there, would it? So are we close to that? Can you see that happening anywhere? Can you see that in the way the church is evolving? Are they listening to another teaching taught by the enemy? Think about it. I'm not saying they are, but think about it. Why are things changing in these latter years? What are they listening to? Such teachings come through hypocritical liars. And all liars, we know where they end up. And hypocrites means that they're acting as something which they're not. They're not what they appear to be. They are typically wolves in sheep's clothing, whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Can you imagine that? I see, you know, like I've been branded through your skin. so that you can't feel anything anymore because it's killed the nerves. So you become numb. So you can shout what you want from the Holy Spirit, numb. Don't get it. What are you on about? Get rid of the Christians. They're the problem. If a person's conscience has been seared, it's highly unlikely that they will ever hear and still that still small voice of God. Why would they? I'm not saying it's impossible, because God can do the impossible. But these people, have their own agenda and make their own decisions based on their own natural desires and instincts. They are, in effect, listening to and probably obeying a different voice in their head. So we have to ask the question, am I listening? Are you listening? And what exactly are we listening to? There are many voices out there, and a mesmerizing amount of lies, and this is getting bad. A mesmerizing amount of lies and deception to the point when it's very difficult to know when you've heard the truth. We need to retune ourselves to his voice and make sure that's what we are hearing and listening to. Upstairs in our house on the landing, it was my parents and I inherited it, an old valve radio made by HMV. The emblem on the top, which I accidentally nearly rubbed off, shows a dog, a white dog, listening to his owner through the horn of a wind-up gramophone player. Not a bidet, a gramophone player. Now, some of you already know that HMV stands for His Master's Voice. HMV is His Master's Voice. So the dog clearly recognizes the voice of his master playing on the record. And that's what he's listening to, even though it's a record, it's not his master, right? And there's a very strong similarity between, you haven't heard from Jesus personally, because he's not here, but you can hear him through the record, through the Bible, when you read his word, what he said, what he did. You are listening to your master's voice. The question is, do we do that? Do we hear his voice through the written word? Now, some of us here are ex-military, some are currently military. And at the end of your period of service, you may end up with a little medal with nice colours on it that says LSGC, Long Service and Good Conduct. That doesn't mean that you never got a speeding ticket, right? Two of us here have got one already, this little medal, right? It means you never got caught. Undetected crime. That's what it means. It doesn't mean, you seem to think head boy or prefect. What it really means is we haven't got anything on you on record. You're not disqualified. But even with that medal, that does not mean you're going to heaven necessarily. It does not mean to say that God has forgiven you. It doesn't mean to say that you're a good citizen. It means you've got a medal. I'm going to leave you with a little scripture which may or may not help you, depending on whether you're listening or not. It's from Isaiah 30, verses 20 to 21. And this is how it goes. Although the Lord gives you the bread of adversity, and doesn't he just, and the water of affliction, and it soon feels like that sometimes, your teachers will be hidden no more. With your own eyes you will see them. Now, whether you turn to the right or turn to the left, your ears will hear a little voice behind you saying, "This is the way. Walk in it. Don't run. Walk. This is the way." And what is the way? He is the way, the truth, and the life. Whether you turn to the left or don't turn to the left, if you turn to the right or you don't turn to the right, that's not the main thing. You will get there eventually. I got there, we got back, I got done. But that's all part of life's rich tapestry of learning in the University of Hard Knocks. And it's all going to be okay in the end. So Father, I thank you for humour. I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are the truth. Thank you for forgiveness, Lord. I thank you that our destiny does not depend on our performance. It depended on yours. And you did it for all of us here. And we thank you for forgiveness in all its fullness for the sins committed yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Lord, attune our ears to your voice, and God forbid that we should ever switch you off. In Jesus' name, amen.